I thought it was cool. I thought it was funny, but maybe not. Where's Wade when you need him? He always laughs at my jokes. He's the only one that gets them. Today, we are finishing our series that we began at the beginning of the year on church health, the healthy church. It's no mistake that the sermon series was designed somewhat to end on the day that we have our annual business meeting. We are a church. We consider the work and business of a church. It is a living organism like no other organism or institution on the face of the earth because of who is our King, who is our CEO, because of the way in which he governs and informs us as to how he would have us operate. You know, the OSHA manual is in effect. I mean, it's God's word that leads and guides and builds us. It is a commitment to his word as his word that informs us as to what a church should be doing and how it should operate, how it should behave, how it does promote health, how to be a healthy church. We've looked at all kinds of different things, and we just picked nine. Well, I mean, it kind of worked out with, you know, some things that are in Scripture that we see as important for churches. Other churches are designed around 5 or 7 or 12. There's all kinds of different ministries that approach this idea of what the church is supposed to be and what it's supposed to do. We looked at the importance of God's Word. Last week, we took a look at God's Word on leadership, how the church is to be organized and run, and its politics, its policies, its polity. We've taken a look at missions briefly. We've looked at outreach. We've looked at a number of different things that we approach and understand what it is that makes them healthy. Early on, we defined health as the absence of disease, and disease was defined as the interruption of vital processes in an organism. What is it that interrupts the church, the church's vital processes, to make it a sick church or a non-church? And sometimes we took a look at a sick church or dying church if some things weren't in place. And as we come to a close, there is one inescapable truth that we haven't talked about. One thing that we have titled, "And the Rest." Because there's a lot of things that a church does. I mean, there's refreshments, there's cleaning, there's visitation, there's offering, there's all kinds of things that a church does. And not all churches do all of the things. But the health of the church is deeply connected to the health of the individuals in that church. Although individually, we're not individuals. Does that make sense? I mean, I think I know what I'm driving at. But Romans tells us that we are connected as members of a body, not having all the same function. And so I've said it before, and you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt and an understanding. I stole it from somebody. Individual Christian, the Bible takes no notice of you. We are deeply connected to one another, and the health of a church is connected to the healthy you. Because only if its members are healthy will the church function in a healthy way. Because the unity of God, the wholeness of God, the oneness of God, God's unity, is reflected in the church, his church, a healthy church. And so you and I, followers of Christ, should reflect and contribute to the connectedness of a church, of this church. Particularly locally. Keep your fingers in Romans chapter 12, because we will come back here in a quick second. But flip back a few pages to Ephesians, and I'm only going to highlight a few of the one another's that are to be true in the church, the connectedness of you and I, of us all, of you and you, and of you and you, as a local congregation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Yes, the command is there to speak truth to each other. Absolutely. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. One another, one another, one another. Ephesians chapter 5, 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with hearts to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. Why? Because we are members one of another. You and I are stuck with each other. Anybody ever tell you that in the gospel, that when you became a Christian, you were stuck with everybody else? Maybe there are a few people in the room here that you'd rather not be stuck with. I mean, you know, what percentage? 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. The Thessalonians were building each other up. You and I should reflect and contribute to the connectedness of a healthy church by our own health, because we are healthy individuals. We're going to take a look at what that means in a minute, but it happens here as the body of Christ. And so maybe those individuals that we might rather not be stuck with are the ones that indicate for us our own level of health. Our connectedness. How does it get in to our lives? How is it that you and I should reflect and contribute so that the unity of God is reflected in a healthy church? Well, it's an argument for membership. We've had a couple of membership ceremonies, and I don't think we're ever going to take the slide off the front. If you're interested in membership, talk to me. I think it's going to be up there 52 weeks a year. Because if this body, this group of people called Hope E Free, is doing what the church should do, and we're to be connected to one another, not an absolute requirement of membership is there, but if it is doing what it should be doing, and you want to do that too as a healthy member, a follower of Christ, sign up. Make the step. Join. It's healthy to do that because we are connected. It's not a requirement. It's like Steve said, you don't have to be a member to come to the meeting. I mean, there are legal things and business things that we need to do as members and that kind of stuff. That just comes with the paperwork for the government. You don't have to be a member to stay here and eat with us. You don't have to be a member, but membership has its privileges, and it's an understanding that we are, that I'm this group of people I want to be part of in a tangible, visible way. And then secondly, and this is it, participate. We use that word participate a lot. There is something that got started again this month, and I love it. Growth opportunities. Participate. Miscellaneous. It's all over this yellow sheet. Refreshments. There are a couple blanks there. Host families, a couple blanks there. This is the guilty sermon, by the way. I didn't know if you knew that or not. This is where I get to really make you feel guilty because you're obviously not doing enough. Okay, laugh. Okay, I don't know if you listen to KFNW, but they said something this week that totally floored me. I knew it to be true, but when you hear it, it kind of makes you go, ooh, that's nasty. 10% of the listeners of KFNW support the work of KFNW. And God bless those 10% that the 90% of us who don't support KFNW in any financial way are benefiting from the 10% that do. Now, I'm not saying run out and go sign a check to KFNW. If you want to do that, that's fine. It's just an illustration. Can you imagine if it were the other way around, if 90% of the people were contributing financially to KFNW, the meager amount compared to the 10% that would need to do what the radio station does? That's a fantastic illustration. You know, not it says it down here, don't make them feel guilty. But here we are, wanting to be healthy, wanting to be followers of Christ. And yeah, I know I can say pray more and come to Bible study more and don't miss church and that kind of stuff, but it should be a desire of our hearts as healthy followers of Christ to be with the people and contribute and participate in any way that we can. Most of the stuff that goes on here isn't noticed by anybody. A couple of weeks ago, somebody came in, not on their turn, as host family to clean. And I happened to be here. I was so totally blessed when they walked in. It's like, hey, how can I help you? Oh, nothing, we're just going to do this. And man, that's cool. Nobody knows that but me and God. It's just an opportunity. There are other opportunities to participate. There's the painting, there's the refreshment tables, communion. Participate in communion. Understand biblically what it is that we're doing. And when it's passed around next week, the grape juice and the bread, participate together. It is a common union that we have. Missions work. Not only, you know, Awana, our missionaries, it's in there, it's in the newsletter, an opportunity to listen to children. If you're free Wednesday at 6:30-ish, you know, take a half an hour, participate, help out. You know, there are untold opportunities. And that's how you and I can reflect the unity of God, by reflecting and participating in the connectedness that we have with each other. Okay. It's a question that we discuss on a regular basis at our business, at our board meetings. You know, how it is that we get, how do we assimilate? How do we get new people to know what is going on at church so they can participate? How it is that we can challenge them to participate? How it is that we can involve people that come through the doors? It's a discussion, and it's a two-way street. But I said that we were going to talk about examining our own health. How is it that we know that we're healthy? We'll go back to Romans. Romans chapter 12. Alyssa read for us those things about prophecy and giving with liberality and serving. And therefore, I urge you, brethren, to present yourself a living and holy sacrifice. But keep reading with me after verse 8, verse 9 and following. Let love be without hypocrisy. This is a whole list, just a checklist, a laundry list of God communicating to us to help us to understand and be able to evaluate our health. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. And then he goes on, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. If in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head, do not become overcome by evil, but be overcome evil with good. There's enough in that laundry list to keep us all very busy for a very long period of time, and it's a very short portion of Scripture. You and I examine our own health. The body's health is seen in the health of its parts. How many of you have had an ingrown toenail or a mild case of arthritis or a toothache that has totally debilitated you? I mean, you can't walk straight. You can't think of anything but the pain. It's just something there all the time. And you know you're not healthy. The church has that experience. Is there any disease in you as a follower of Christ? Is it a habitual sin? Is it the seed of bitterness that defiles many? Is it a contentious spirit? And is it a laundry list? Is there any disease in you that keeps you from being healthy, a devoted and growing follower of Christ? Those things affect the unity and the health of the church because we're connected to one another. And so let a man examine himself and let him eat and drink. We say that once a month. But what is Christian growth? How do you know that it isn't that your growth in Christ, your discipleship, isn't just that condemning work of the Holy Spirit? You're such a sinner, you're such a reprobate, you have all kinds of contention and all these other things. Well, on the positive side of things, are you loving the way Christ loved? Do you obey his commands? Once a year we do a baptismal service. It's usually at our church picnic out at the lake. It's a wonderful time. I love it. It's one of my favorite Sundays. Is God moving you to be baptized? Is that something you need to obey in as a believer in Christ? Do you? And I know, I've talked to people, well, I was baptized as a baby. Does it count? What do you do? Am I going to rebaptize you? There are people that I know that were baptized as infants, and then when they got right with the Lord, they happened to be in water, and they baptized themselves, and they said, "Pastor, will you baptize me?" I said, "You betcha." Following Christ. Are you more in love with his word today than you were a week ago? Are you more in love with him through his word today than you were a week ago? Maybe you had a rough week. Okay, I'll give you a break. 2 weeks ago. When you first became a believer, have you grown? Your personal Bible study, your corporate Bible study, Sunday school for all ages, women's studies, men's studies, they're available. I know times and that kind of stuff. I said to an individual who has asked me to start a devotional Bible study, if it's 3:00 in the morning, I'll be there. If that's when it works out, I'll be there. I might have one eye open and my breath might not be too good, but I'll be there because we're supposed to be doing that. That's the health of the individual that contributes to the health of the body. As a disciple, as a follower of Christ, compare your walk, your relationship with God throughout time periods of your life. Not to create that guilt, but as an honest examination. Am I a better follower of Christ today than I was when I was 20? You know that illustration? Maybe you've heard it before. A world-famous pianist was asked how often he practices and how does he know. And he said, well, if I don't practice piano, you know, for a couple days, I'll notice. Nobody else will notice, but I'll notice. If I don't practice piano for a couple of weeks, my closest friends and family will notice. But if I don't practice for a month, the world will notice. You know, you might be a believer for a really long time. And, you know, you got prayer, you understand it, you do it. You got Bible study, you pray, you do it. But are you practicing your piano? Does the skill increase? You know, who would want to go to a doctor who stopped learning when he graduated from medical school? Who would want to follow a follower of Christ if they stopped being a Christian and growing in Christ the day they became a believer? The health of the body of Christ is interconnected to the health of the individual members of the body of Christ. and we are deeply connected to one another. That's the rest. And that's all there is. That's in everything that we do. Amen? Amen. Because a church, a healthy church, reflects the holiness, the whole, not H-O-L-E, W-H-O-L-E, the wholeness of God by being and doing what it is to be and do. Let us pray together. Father, we come before you knowing that these laundry lists and